So I want to finish up the last topic that we were doing, which was Smiyah. We're not going to finish it up, but we'll say a few more words, and then we'll start the Shakavatari of the Gemara today. The last thing we were discussing in our Akdama was Smicha, and the connection between Smicha and Par Halam Davar Shel Tzibur, if everybody remembers. And there's like one critical piece that we still have to discuss in connection with that. So again, just to remind everybody, we were discussing why it might be that the mitzvah of Minui Dayanim, Shoftim V'Shoftim Titen L'cha B'chol Sharecha, according to some Rishonim, is only a mitzvah in Eretz Yisrael. That's the view of the Sefer HaChinuch, and he says that it's connected to the fact that smicha, rabbinic ordination, is only given in Eretz Yisrael. Which is not so simple. The Ramban understood that the Rambam also felt that way, whereas the Ramban disagrees, and in my opinion, maybe the Rambam disagrees, and that we already discussed. The point is that, in terms of the facts, if you had to ask whether or not, you know, the mitzvah of Minu Dayanim, prima facie belongs in Eretz Yisrael, only in Eretz Yisrael, or even in Chutz Laaretz, so the two facts that you would want to be weighing is, on the one hand, minui dayanim, or giving out of smicha, is only in Eretz Yisrael, like the Chinuch says. On the other hand, as the Ramban says, Sanhedrin Oheges ba'aretz b'chutz la'aretz. Once you have dayanim, so you can set up shop, you should set up shop, even in chutz la'aretz. So which is more compelling, the source of the status of dayan, or the application of the function of dayan. It's hard to say, it's hard to know. But either way, what I was trying to explain was that either way, what this Chinuch says requires better clarification, because we understand that the mechanism of appointing dayanim, of giving somebody smicha, needs Eretz Yisrael. But why, in theory, should that determine that the mitzvah of minui dayanim, because Pelech or Pelech, B'kol Ir V'Ir, or B'kol Pelech and not B'kol Ir, whatever it is, why should it dictate for that halach? After all, as we were discussing, there are numerous benefits and advantages to appointing Dayanim in every kind of venue, right? In terms of precluding the temptation to go to Arkos, speeding up the peaceful resolution of disputes, as a deterrent, as all the things we've been discussing, a deterrent for improper halachic behavior, as role models and inspiration, to set a certain tone in the community, as a way of, involving all the different hierarchies of Dayanim, in Jewish life. So what does that have to do with smicha being given specifically in Eretz Yisrael? So in connection with that, we took a step back and we started examining, well, why is it anyways that smicha is limited to Eretz Yisrael? After all, it's not the mitzvah tatlios baretz, it's not trumas, it's not maisus, it's not shmita, it's not bikurim, meaning it has nothing to do with the soil of Eretz Yisrael. It's Sanhedrin is noeg baretz b'chutz laaretz. Why is smicha only in Eretz Yisrael? And in connection with that, we noted that the Gemara on Yadalit Omen Aleph in Sanhedrin just says it, that, Eretz Yisrael is a requirement for smicha. It doesn't bring any raya, and that's very shocking. Normally, the Gemara would say immediately, as it does on Yud Gimel and Beis, about how do you know you need three dayanim to give smicha, this and that. The Gemara always says, minalon, how do you know? This is a dindoraisa without a minalon. The Rishalmi in Bikurim does have a makar, but it's not a makar that is immediately helpful, with the emphasis, I guess, on the word immediately. The Yerushalmi quotes a pasuk in Yecheskel, says, Ben Adam Yoshvim al Admasam, and that says, Ein Yeshiva Ela Be'eretz Yisrael. But what does that have to do with smicha? Right? Yeshiva there doesn't mean like a yeshiva. It means yeshiva, a dwelling or life that is thriving. So what's going on? So what we began to do is to try to delve a little bit deeper into the smicha, and what we noticed was that according to the Rambam in particular, there are several interesting phenomena. One is that the Rambam thinks that the word smicha shares also with another category. You would have thought that it's a linguistic coincidence and insignificant, namely smichas par halam davar shel tzibur, where the members of a group, a delegation from Dezen HaGadol, they lean on the animals, part of the smicha, in the Korban Parlam Dover Shal Tzibur, in a situation where the Dezen HaGadol makes a mistake and Rov Klal Yisrael, as a result, are chote. So instead of each one bringing a separate Korban, one Korban is brought on behalf of all of corporate Klal Yisrael. That's the din of smichas Parlam Dover Shal Tzibur. And of course, smicha that we're talking about is smicha l'dayanus, rabbinic ordination. So one would have thought, you know, ma inyan smicha l'smicha, right? It's the same word. In one case it means leaning, the other case it means authorization. Even the leaning here was Moshe and Yehoshua, biyadayim, you know, but there's no substantive connection. But while Rashi in the Mishnah, based on Amud Aleph, says that when the Mishnah speaks about, records a debate, whether smichas kein barifas eglas bishlosha divrei Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda Amar b'chamisha, Rashi says that's what it refers to, parlam davar shel tzibur. But the Rambam, Pirush Mishnayos, says it refers to both smicha l'dayanus and parlam davar shel tzibur. That's shocking. Namely, that one word would refer to both, and that the argument, whether three or five, which is based on psukim, regarding parlam davar shel tzibur, that's clear in the Gemara Yud Gimel Beis, according from Vayikra, in the Parsha of Parlam Davar Shel Tzibur. So a debate about Psukim of Parlam Davar Shel Tzibur is going to spill over into Smicha L'dayanus. It's more than strange. Then we also noted that the Rambam's boundaries for Smicha and Eretz Yisrael are the boundaries of Yehoshua, not the boundaries of Ezra. Right? No one knows where the Rambam got that from. I mentioned that the Rav said that it's Shem Eretz Yisrael as opposed to Kedusha Saharetz. Kafta Referach, the Abishtoria Parchi and Kafta Referach says something similar. And you just told me that the Chasam Sofer also says something similar about that issue? Yeah. In Vayechi, but I didn't get a chance to read it yet. That's part of my homework. So where does the Rambam get this from and what does it mean? So the Or Sameach says maybe he got it from the Parsha and from the context of Par Helam Davar Shel Tzibur. He's speculating. Because in Parlam Davar Shel Tzibur, it seems like those are the boundaries. Okay, that's interesting. Second connection. A third connection is the most important connection, is the Rambam in Pirush Mishnayos and Bechoros. The Rambam in Pirush Mishnayos and Bechoros tells us why he thinks you need Eretz Yisrael for Smicha. He says the reason is because you need it for Parlam Davar Shel Tzibur, meaning the Gemara there says on Gimel and Aleph that you need a majority of Klal Yisrael to have made a mistake. How do you calculate a majority of Klal Yisrael? Kahal Yisrael Sheba Eretz Yisrael Ikri Kahal. Kahal Yisrael Sheba Chutz La'aretz Lo Ikri Kahal. It's the community living in Eretz Yisrael. The Rambam adds in Pirush Mishnayos and Bechoros, we have it here on our sheet, as long as there are at least 10. So that means that if you have 6 out of 10 Jews in Eretz Yisrael who make a mistake, right? But you have, and then you have 1 million Jews in Chutz La'aretz, let's say, none of whom made a mistake. Oh, my God, no, that's not going to be good. You know, 10 of whom made a mistake, right? Meaning an extremely small minority. Nonetheless, that's still called the majority of Klal Yisrael for this purpose. And the Chutz La'aretz and Eretz Yisrael people will bring a single korban. And if it was flipped, meaning, let's say, you know, there was 1 million Jews in Chutz La'aretz, Baruch Hashem, there are more, but I don't want to give an ayin hara or anything like that, however that works. But let's say 90% of the million made a mistake based on the Psak of Bezna Gadol. And in Eretz Yisrael, let's say there were 10 Jews, right?
Four.
And only 4 made a mistake, right? So the 900,000, you know, and 4 Jews, I get that right, would all have to bring single karbanos in that case, right? Now that's pretty extreme. It's very unlikely that we'd get those numbers. But, you know, extreme cases are, you know, serve the function of, you know, highlighting things. So the point is that Kahal Yisrael Sheba Eretz Yisrael Likri Kahal means that the national headquarters of the Jewish people determines, you know, or the majority there determines for Klal Yisrael, even when the numbers are so completely off the charts imbalanced. So if that's the source for Smicha L'dayanus, again, we have 3 connections to Parlam Davar Shel Tzibur in the Rambam now. Eretz Yisrael, the Gevulos, and both the argument of 3 and 5 in the Mishnah, based on Psukim in Parlam Davar Shel Tzibur. So the question is, what does that all mean? I mean, the pattern is unmistakable. But what's the significance of it? What's going on here? So the point seems to be that smicha is a national interest, and it really also flows from the, you know, from the Mesorah that is given to Klal Yisrael, and it's a representation of that. And therefore, it's a din in Tzibor, and it has to have its roots in Eretz Yisrael itself. And maybe that's why, you know, even Minui Bezdin is limited to Eretz Yisrael according to some Rishonim, because the idea of a kahal, of a tzibor, you know, which you know, basically represents these high level aspirations and ideals, you know, it's a kind of tafasta lo meruba, tafasta meruba lo tafasta, if you try to pull that off, at least according to some, in Chutzlar. It's the same reason that there's no egla rufa in Chutzlar. Meaning, in Eretz Yisrael, where you have this potential, so then the aspiration is a meaningful one. And in Chutzlar, it's, you know, where you're just, you know, kind of struggling to survive. Again, we'd like to do more than survive. But the point is that this is maybe not something. And this, of course, explains two things, one of which we'll discuss later on. But it's very interesting to note that the Ritva in Makos, on Zayin Amud Aleph, Makos Zayin Amud Aleph is where the Mishnah says that Sanhedrin is no Heges, Ba'aretz v'Chutz La'aretz. That's when you do have Dayanim, then you could set up Batei Dinim, and they can even be done Dinei Nefashos, and certainly Knasos, even in Chutz La'aretz. So what's interesting is that the Ritva in Makos, trying to explain something, basically says that that comes under the rubric of Shlichusayu Ka'avdina. Now, Shlichusayu Ka'avdina is a topic that we're going to get to, you know, a little bit in the second part of today's shir. But it's basically a Gemara in Gittin and Bava Kamma, where the Gemara in Gittin and Bava Kamma wants to explain that even if you don't have smuchin in Bavel, meaning in Chutz La'aretz, that nonetheless you can do some of the dinim there, on the basis of the principle of Shlichusayu Debnei Eretz Yisrael Ka'avdina. Okay, and we'll discuss what that means. But what's fascinating about it is that the Ritva is applying it in a very shocking way. Because the Ritva is trying to explain not what happens when you don't have smuchim here, but you have smuchim there, and therefore how can these people adjudicate on the basis of smicha that they don't have? So the Gemara says, whatever it means, shlichusayu debnei Eretz Yisrael kavdina. But that's not what the Ritva is talking about. What's the Ritva talking about? You have dayanim, smuchim, they received smicha in Eretz Yisrael. Now they're on shlichut or whatever. Well, I mean, I said it. Now they're in Chutz La'aretz, and they're setting up a bezdin. So the Ritva says, nonetheless, you know, they work, but you should know shlichusayu ka'avdinan. That's not what the Gemara means when it says shlichusayu ka'avdinan. He's using that idea here. What's the point? The point seems to be that even when you have smuchim, right, in a way, even though we say Sanhedrin noheges ba'aretz b'chutz la'aretz, one could have said, well, all we care is about that the dayanim are qualified, and a bezdin's a bezdin. But according to the Ritva, it's more than that. Basically, every bezdin is an embassy. Every bezdin is connected to the headquarters in the Jewish state. And every bezdin is a representation, or basically is a is operating based on the authorization of the Bezdin HaGadol B'Lishus HaGazis in Eretz Yisrael.
When there's a 2,000-year gap.
Well, that the 2,000-year gap is the Shlichusayu of the Gemara.
Yeah.
I'm saying even when there's no gap, it's a bigger Kiddush. Each of these is a bigger Kiddush in a different way. The 2,000-year gap is a bigger Kiddush, because can you talk? Well, the question is, what do we mean by Shlichusayu there? So we'll get back to that. Yeah. Can you say Shlichusayu de Kamoi? How can you say Shlichusayu when there's no one left? Right? No, we have a principle in Shlichus, you know, that, you know, if the Shalech doesn't exist, then there's no Shlichus either. Right? That's a bigger Kiddush than that. But we understand at least why we're resorting to a notion like Shlichusayu, because that's the only way we can connect up to the Smicha. But in the case of the Ritva, the Kiddush is less and more. It's less because we don't think we even need an explanation. You have smuchim be'eretz Yisrael, they got smuchim be'eretz Yisrael, they're now dayanim in chutz laretz, and the Sanhedrin is no haggis. Why do you need to explain anything? But if the explanation is given that it's based on shlichus hayu, what it's really saying is that we're an embassy. It's not an independent bezdin. Not only is it, you might say, well, it's part of the network. That's true. In Tzfat and in Tveria, they're also part of the network. But apparently, in Jamaica States, you know, being part of the network means, you know, going through Eretz Yisrael. Whereas in Tzfat and Tveria, you know, it's much more independent. And that's a big chiddush. Okay.
Can I just ask?
Sure.
How does Rambam know that Par Elm Dor is dependent upon the Gvulim of Yeshua?
Say that again?
Because
the psukim that are quoted in Horios, that's a very good question. The psukim quoted in Horios on Gimel Amud Aleph talk about the Gvulos of Mitzrayim, of Yotzei Mitzrayim. However, this is what's interesting. If you look at the Rambam in Hilchos Shkagos and in Pirush Mishnayos, he quotes those psukim. Now, the Minchas Chinuch, who generally is like the Bar Plukta of all of this, meaning the Minchas Chinuch all over the place keeps calling the Rambam out for, you know, using the old borders instead of the new ones. For example, Kiddush HaChodesh, right? So that's one of the famous examples. The Rav used to speak about this a lot. He had three examples. I think there are seven examples. But one of his examples was not Par Helm Davar Shetziva. The Rav used to speak about three examples, and if you look in the Igros HaGrid, it appears there a couple of times as well. The three that he talked about were Smicha, right? How come Smicha depends on the borders of Yoshua? It should depend on the borders of Ezra. So the Minchas Chinuch asks that. Minchas Chinuch says, I don't understand where the Rambam got this from, and I think it's wrong. Okay. The other one is Kiddush HaChodesh. The Tosas here, if you look for a second, on Yud Aleph Amud Beis, in Sanhedrin, 'Ema Abra Mashana Ela B'Yehuda, the large Tosas, the bottom Tosas. Tosas says, Hoder Rabbi Akiva Iber Shana Ben Harda. If you can't be Ma'aber Shana except in Eretz Yisrael, but there are two possible psukim, like the one in Gemara in Brachos quotes, one in the Gemara here, either L'shichno Sidrashu Vasa Shama, or Kimitzion Teitze Torah. Right? So, how come Rabbi Akiva was able to be Ma'aber Shana in the Harda, which is in Babel? Right? Bereish Perek Ha'isha Shalom, when Harda Michutz La'aretz. So the Tosa says, Shaini Rabbi Kiva Shalom Yiniach Kemoso Be'eretz Yisrael, Kedomin Himself Brachos. Gemara says in the end of Brachos that Yud Aleph Amud Beis, the Tosas. The bottom Tosas, the big Tosas. That since Rabbi Akiva, there was nobody like Rabbi Akiva in Eretz Yisrael. I mean, he was the preeminent authority. Apparently that's an exception to the rule, and therefore you're allowed to be Ma'aber Sashana in Chutzart. So then Tosas says, Vim Tomar. Rabbi Kiva the command, the Chazon Bezdin of Yashuv covered by our Eretz Yisrael. Teida, Tosam Shnas Shviyas Haisa, and so on. So then Tosa says, second, Rabbi Yerushalmi. Just skip a couple lines towards the end. Rabbi Yerushalmi, Amrina Behedya, the Kashen Yachal Aber Osa Eretz Yisrael, Ma'abirin Osa B'Chutz La'aretz, Yirmiya Yecheskel Baruch Baneria, right? Ibru B'Chutz La'aretz. Okay. So the Yerushalmi, quoted by this Tosa, says that this idea that Shaloi Nichol Kamosa merits Yisrael, that in theory you could also be Ma'aber Shana if you had to, in Chutz La'aretz, is supported by Yirmiyahu, Yecheskel, etc. Right? This is the famous Minchas Chinuch. Minchas Chinuch says, in Siman Daled, right in the beginning, he says, I don't understand the Raya. When did Yecheskel and Yirmiyah, when did they all live?
After
Churban Bais Rishon, before Ezra, says the Minchas Chinuch, meaning they lived in a time when there was no Eretz Yisrael. So the fact that they lived at a time when there's no Eretz Yisrael and they can be Ma'abar Sashona B'chutz Haaretz, that doesn't prove when there is an Eretz Yisrael that Shelo Hinichu Kamoso Be'eretz Yisrael could be Ma'abar B'chutz Haaretz. Right? Except that, therefore, says the Minchas Chinuch, well, how does he get out of it? So Minchas Chinuch says everybody thinks that Ibra Shana and so on, Kiddush HaKodesh, depends on Kiddushas Eretz Yisrael. They're wrong. It depends on Kiddushas Yerushalayim. How does that help you? Because according to the Rambam, Kedushas Yerushalayim is Kedushas Hashkina, which is Lo Betel Aliolam. That's his answer. But the Rav's answer was, as I said before, no, the assumption of the question is wrong. Just because it's after the Churban, before Ezra, means there's no Eretz Yisrael. There's no Kedushas Karka of Eretz Yisrael. Because the Kedusha Rishona of Yoshua was Batel with the Korban, and it was had yet to be reinvested with Kedusha based on Ezra. That's true. But that's a far cry from saying that there's no Eretz Yisrael, right? And really what Kedusha Chodesh depends on, it's not a mitzvah of Kliyas Baretz, is Shem Eretz Yisrael. That was the second one that Rav used to speak about a lot. Once again, the Minchas Chinuch L'Shitaso. The third one was Egla Rufa. Right? The Rambam says, Egla Rufa only applies in Eretz Yisrael, but it applies even in Eivar Yarden. Oh. So, if you look at the Ravid in Hilchos Shemitah, Perek Dalid, the Ravid says that Eivar Yarden was part of the kibush of Yehoshua, but it was never resettled by Ezra. So the question is, what do you mean Egla Rufa, according to the Rambam, is Eivar Yarden? Eivar Yarden is the old borders, not the new borders. So these are the three that Rav used to say, oh, these are all Dinam of Shem Eretz Yisrael, not Kedushas Haaretz. But another one is Parlam Davar Shel Tzibur itself. So the Minchas Chinuch, I think in Kuf Chaf, in Minchas Chinuch, says, how come the Rambam is quoting the borders of Parlam Davar Shel Tzibur of Yehoshua? It's true that that's the pasuk that the Gemara quotes in Horios, but that's because the Gemara was quoting from the earlier Tkufa. But now that we're in a post-Ezra era, the boundaries, the geography of Paralim Davar Shel Tzibur, meaning of figuring out the majority, should be within the precincts of that. I mean, of those boundaries, the Ezra boundaries, not the Yehoshua boundaries. So the Minchas Chinuch says, I think the Rambam is wrong. I think he made a huge mistake here. But once again, the idea is Parlam Davar Shel Tzibur has nothing to do with Karka. It has to do with the Shem Eretz Yisrael, the national headquarters of the Jewish people. Anything, Nevuah is another example that they all speak about. But there's a lot of evidence that Nevuah is limited to Eretz Yisrael.
So Shem Eretz Yisrael simply means once it was captured by Yehoshua, it received the...
That status. It never lost its status. It lost its sanctity of the ground. Yeah.
And so what about the other things that were conquered later on, like Surya and things like that?
Well, Surya is a topic in its own right, because that's Kibush Yachin.
And right, the other parts that were...
I'm saying it depends, meaning it was Kibush Yachin, is Machlokas, why it was called Kibush Yachin, that's the Sugya in Gittin, is it Kibush Yachin because it didn't have the approval of the Sanhedrin, or was it a Kibush Yachin because it was conquered out of order? I mean, I should have, you know, first conquered... You know, the proper Eretz Yisrael proper, and then added to it. But all these are questions. All these are issues. A Kvura, that's a big issue in the Kaftav of Ferach. You know, the Skula of having Kvura in Eretz Yisrael, is that, which boundaries are those? Kol Yisrael Areidim Zelazeh is a great example. By the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, and Daf Mem Gimel, that until Kol Yisrael entered into Eretz Yisrael, right, that's the those dots, you know, Haniglos Hashem Elokeinu Hanistaros Lanu Levanenu. So the Rashi there quotes it.
The other way around. Hanistaros Hashem
Elokeinu. Haniglos Lanu. Sorry. Yeah. So the thank you. So the Rashi there quotes the Gemara in Sanhedrin that the din of Kol Yisrael Areidim Zelazeh only began once they crossed into Eretz Yisrael. That's a perfect idea. Meaning the corporate Kol Yisrael, a lot of it anyway. You know, only kicked in Eretz Yisrael. Some didn't, and some did. But that's what's unique about it. So when you put it all together for Smicha, that's really what emerges. So in light of this, I just wanted to make the following point. And that is, the Rambam has a massive chiddush, okay, about smicha. Everybody, I don't know if everybody here knows about it, we made reference to it, I didn't get a chance to speak about it yet. And that is, of course, what's known as the chiddush ha-smicha, which is a phenomenon in its own right. Meaning, the Rambam came up with an idea of huge consequences, you know, without any direct makar, except his conviction, A, that it has to be so, and B, that it is so. And, but of course, this is the Rambam speaking, so he was capable of such big thinking. And, you know, there's a lot of history, you know, efforts to implement this idea. In the Rambam's own time, it doesn't seem like it was ever implemented, although the Kaftar Aferach, Avraham Shtori Aparchi, claims, he says, oh, if you look at the Rambam, you know, in several halachos, he seems to be talking about, you know, dinim that don't really or shouldn't really apply in his time, unless secretly they applied the Chiddush HaSmicha. So that's fascinating. I don't believe it for a minute. But in the 16th century, I'll speak about this in a moment, in 16th century in Tzfat, there was a movement to implement the Rambam's idea for all sorts of interesting historical reasons. There was a huge debate and controversy about it. The Beis Yosef was one of the, it was Marie Beirav and the Rabach. Marie Beirav was one who, you know, took this initiative and was, I'll explain what it is on just a second. Beis Yosef was one of the people who received smicha, you know, to try to reignite smicha. Mabit, Ramah, like big people we're talking about. And it was very strongly opposed by others. In the end, it didn't take hold because it was too controversial. There wasn't enough of a consensus. There was a very thoroughgoing investigation regarding the consequences. It's not like today where, you know, somebody has an idea and all of a sudden next thing, you know, they pressure you and this was very serious stuff. Yeah. Anyways, so this phenomenon, this Kiddush, it's a unbelievable chapter. When Medinat Yisrael was proclaimed, there were people who wanted to revisit this idea. Understandably, it was like a heady time. And I'm talking about serious people now, people suffused with Yerah Shemayim. They felt, oh, this is an opportunity, you know, Ikvasa de Beshicha. We'll explain in a minute. So Rav Maimon wrote a book called something like Chiddush HaSanhedrin, you know, Biyameinu or something like that, where he was really pushing hard, together with other people, that they should start a, you know, they should reintroduce a smicha based on the Rambam's, you know, idea. Anyways, this idea itself is both as a phenomenon, there are three things, I mean, just the phenomenon of coming up with outsources, such a consequential idea, that's A. B, let's say the historical applications of it, the efforts to do it, and what that tells us about how this is an innovation, but it's an innovation essentially to, you know, to restore an institution. What it tells about that. And three, which is what I'm really interested in the moment, like what are the implications for smicha of this method of reigniting it? Okay, so it's a fascinating chapter. I just want to spend a couple of minutes on it because it's relevant to what we've been developing. So what is this? So again, I'm a little neglectful not to quote the real Rambam, the Rambam in Yad HaChazaka, but we have it twice mentioned in Pirush HaMishnayos here. So look on page one, in Pirush HaMishnayos, Sanhedrin, Perek Aleph Mishnah Gimel. And the Rambam says two things. Number one, what? I don't have the numbers in front of me. I have a different copy. But page one, yeah. Probably 18. 18 sounds right. So, Avalim Tzarech Shiyu HaShlosha Smuchim. Everybody have that? The first Pirush Mishnayos. Avalim Tzarech Shiyu HaShlosha Smuchim. V'yachakach Yeh Efshar Lehem Lismoch Acher. Harei Yesh B'davar Safek. Everybody have that? In the Pirush Mishnayos, go down six lines.
Line 12. You're up to 12.
12, okay. So go six lines down in the Pirush Mishnayos. Everybody have it?
Yeah.
Avalim tzar shiyu ha-shlosha smuchin, achakach yeh efshar lehem lismoch acher. Hariyesh Bedavar Safek. The Rambam speaks about 2 points. Number one, in order to transmit smicha, right, do you need 3 smuchim? Or do you need 1 samuch, but 3 people? That's 1 samuch together with 2 hedyotos, let's say. Right? So the Rambam says, I'm not sure. Right? Do you need 3 smuchim? Right? It's a safek. Okay. But then he says, Vanirim in a Talmud, Shetzorach Shia Godel Shabahem Samuch, Vitzarif Elav Shnayim, Vimanis Mishi Yerza. It seems to me that even on the Stapek, that 1 samuch and 2 accompaniers, even if they don't have smicha, would be enough. Okay. But then he says, that's one issue. Then he says, Vani Sabur, She'im Tiyas Kama Mikola Talmidim, V'Hachachamim, Limanos Ishbi Yeshiva, if there would be an agreement by all the Talmidim and the Chachamim, so the debate here whether it really means all or it means rove, right, to appoint a single person, Klomar, Shiaseu Rosh, to make him Rosh Yeshiva, Ubitznai Shiazeb Eretz Yisrael Kamoshik Damnu, as long as this decision took place in Eretz Yisrael, Hare Oso Haish Titkayem Lo HaYeshiva V'yesamuch, then he will become a samuch, even though the unbroken chain of ish mipi ish mipi ish mipi ish mipi ish ad Yoshua ad Moshe Rabbeinu has been broken. Nonetheless, and that's why smicha ended, really, in other words, the original smicha, the most authoritative smicha. And if we could bring that back, says the Rambam, this is his own idea, no Gemara, right? Based on the agreement of kol ha-talmidim v'chachamim,
he must
have been living. So then he could start the process again.
He must have been living in different times.
What do you mean?
I can't imagine this ever happening.
Well, the Rambam, you'll see in a minute, the Rambam himself. Yeah, exactly. Lefi, listen to why. The reason, it's a fascinating chapter. She'im lo tomar kain, says the Rambam. How do I know it? He doesn't try to bring a source from a Gemara that it's so. Or you know, to explain it. But he just knows that it has to be so. Why? Shim lo tomar kein lo te efsharit mitziyut beit din agadol liolam shetzorach kol echad mehem she'eh samuch b'li safek. For bezin agadol to work, there has to be smicha, and you won't be able to have bezin agadol without it. V'harei kvar evtiach Hashem b'shivasam ba'amaro b'shiva shavtayach kevar rishona, and the Rabbanu Shalom made a haftacha that, you know, in Yemos HaMashiach it'll be v'shiva shavtayach kevar rishona v'yotzayach kevar tchila, that there'll be a return of Shoftayach and Yoatayach, which Rambam thinks has to mean formal smicha bezna gadol. Barmer v'ashiva Shoftayach v'ashonah v'shem et tomar shamashiach imana osam. You'll say, oh, the Melech HaMashiach will do this. Apal pi she'enam smuchim hareza mukha. She said, he can't do that. It's a matter of halacha. She'kvar b'yarnu b'akdama sfarenu shamashiach lo yosif b'tor v'lo yigra mimena lo b'tor shebetzah v'lo b'tor shebal peh. Right, Mashiach doesn't get to do what he wants. He has to follow the rules of the halacha too. Okay? Bani Sabur, Sha Sanhedrin Tashuv Lifnei Hitgalut HaMashiach. In my understanding of the Nevuos of Achris Hayamim, says the Rambam, the Bezna Gadol has to return before Mashiach as a prerequisite. Vizeyim Simanov, and one of the Simanim of Yemos HaMashiach is that there'll be a Bezna Gadol. Omar v'ashiva shavtayach kevar rishona v'yotzayach kevar tchila. Acharei chein, kari lecha, hira tzedek. Zeya b'li safek, kasher yakshir Hashem libos b'nei adam. Beautiful Rambam. And when people are ready for it, and they're worthy, v'yarbu m'may sa'atov, right, they'll increase their good deeds, u'tegadel tshukosam l'Hashem u'l'toraso, their passion for the Rabbonu Shel Olam and his Torah will, you know, warrant this. Yisraba Yashram, right, and their ethical character as well. Lifnei Bo HaMashiach, Kemoshen Izbar B'Psuki HaMikra. So this is a remarkable thing. You can imagine. Again, the Rambam was the Rambam, you know. So if anybody in the world, you know, could say such a thing and pull it off, it would be the Rambam, both to come up with it and to have the authority, you know, for people to take it seriously, which they did, although it never got done, which is fascinating because it just wasn't enough of a consensus. And you can't make changes like this cavalierly, even with a lot of support, if it doesn't, if it's too controversial. Anyways, in Pirush Shais and Becharos, he mentions it again. That look down in the next piece, go down to the fourth line. Ukvar biyarnu b'tchil Sanhedrin, she'ein nikra bezin b'stam el samoch b'eretz Yisrael. For somebody to be a samoch, for something to be a bezin, you need samoch b'eretz Yisrael. And then he adds, bein she'a samoch mipi samoch, whether it's ish mipi ish mimoshe Rabbeinu, oh, baskamas b'nei eretz Yisrael, limnosa rosh hashiva. You have to know what he's talking about, unless you know Pirush Mishnayos or Yad HaChazaka in Sanhedrin, in other words. Baskamas b'nei eretz Yisrael, limnosa rosh hashiva, lefisha b'nei eretz Yisrael, heim asher nikroim kol. Here's where he puts it all together. Divrei Aram b'maniyim b'makom echad v'ashirim b'makom acher. It's truly inspirational. Vashem kira'am, the Rebbeinu Shem calls b'nei eretz Yisrael kol hakohol, afilo hay asar achadim, even 10. So once again, he's referring to this idea of, number one, the connection to Parol and Dover, but this idea of Chiddush HaSmicha. So in Yad HaChazaka, the Rambam says as follows, again, I should have copied it, but I've just been, since mostly we have what we need, so I was a little negligent, I apologize. But Perek Dalet Halacha Vav, the Rambam says as follows. Not both, sorry. Ches, right? No. Where is it? One second. Perek Dalet Halacha. Oh, sorry. Halacha Yidav. Harei Shelo Hayu Be'eretz Yisrael. Listen carefully. Ela Samuch Echad. Even if in Eretz Yisrael there was only one Samuch left, you see the Gemara, famous story about Rabbi Yudah ben Bava, that he was Moser Nefesh to give Smicha, because he wanted to keep the system going. Right? Moshev Shnayim Betzido, he has to join together with two others who don't have Smicha. The Somech, Shivim Ki Achor, he could give Smicha to 70, I'd have to be worthy. The last halacha, by the way, of this perek, which is all about Smicha, is the Rambam's famous also chiddush that we don't know where he got it from. Mi she'ena roi ladun mipnei she'ena yodea o she'ena hagun, if he's not appropriate knowledge-wise or ethically or otherwise. She'ama rosh galus v'nasan rishus otonu bezan v'nasan rishus ena rishus mo'elas le'klum, it doesn't help him ad she'a roi, unless he's roi. She'amakdish ba'mum le'mizbeach, right? En kedusha chalala. That's quite an interesting comparison. If you bring a balmum and you makdish it, it doesn't become a korban. You can't make something of something that it's not. Okay. Anyway, this is like a fascinating chapter. Every line in the Rambam about smicha is amazing. People are so, well, again, you know, it's the weight which they took. Anyways, so the Rambam goes on to say, listen to this, Nirin liadvarim, this is where he, in Yad HaChazaka, you know, comes up with this amazing controversial proposal. Now that we no longer have the Ishmi Piish anymore, and there's no smicha, right? No classical smicha. So if the Chachamim in Eretz Yisrael wanted to appoint judges, the Lismo Chosan, to give them smicha, smuchin, it would work. And they'd be able to reignite Dine Knossos, presumably also Dine Nefoshos, we'll get to that in a second. V'yesh lahem l'smoch acherim, and then from then on, you'd be back to the ish mipiish idea. Wow. Im kein lama yu chachamim mitztarim ala smicha. So why would the Gemara says that Rabbi Yudah ben Bava risked his life for smicha? And he was killed, actually. He didn't just risk his life, he gave up his life. Why did he do it? The Gemara says, because didn't want Jewish law to lose this capacity. But why did he do it? Why did he just do the Chiddush HaSmicha of the Rambam? Right? It's a good question. So the Rambam says, what did you say before? You don't believe it, right? Kedei shelo yivatlu dinei knosos b'Yisrael, that's why they did it. Lefi she'Yisrael mifuzarin. V'yefsher she'askimu kulan. So what does he mean by that? So there's a big debate what the Rambam meant by a lot of these things. So some of the Farshim say, oh, the Rambam meant that geographically people are spread out, right? And the Rambam holds, which is fascinating, that everybody has to be in the same place in order to do this. Like, why do they have to be physically in the same place? The Rambam says that to give smicha, ish mipi ish, as long as they're both in Eretz Yisrael, it's fine. One can be in Tveria, the other can be in Tzfat. But all of a sudden, when it comes to this, they have to be together. That would be interesting, right? That's one pshat. Lefi she Yisrael mefuzarin, v'yefsha she askimu kulan. Okay. The other pshat is, no, mefuzarim here doesn't mean geographically.
Deos.
It means in Deos. Or if it means geographically, but the point is that that's a function. He lives here, he lives there. Everybody has a different idea what's good for Klal Yisrael. And that's why it leads in, it's not 2 points, it's yefshar she'askimu kulan. Not, there's not 3 ways to read it. One is she'yisrael mefuzarim, right, A. B, yefshar she'askimu kulan. 2 different points. Or, the fishe yisrael mefuzarim, they all have to be there geographically in the same place, which is a chiddush, and therefore you can't get them all together to agree. Yefshar she'askimu kulan. It's one idea, but it's the first idea. Or it's really this one idea, but it's the second idea, meaning she'yisrael mefuzarim, Jews are all over the place, you know, and maybe that means geographically, maybe it doesn't. Even if it does, it means for that reason. Yefshar she'askimu kulan. They don't need to be in the same physical venue as long as they're in Eretz Yisrael, but the fact that they come from different places, or it means they're in different places, they're not going to agree. It's going to be very hard to agree. But if they would, it would work. So that's part of the debate later on. The Maribe Rav, who did this, said, the Rambam doesn't mean you need kulam, and it didn't mean you need everybody together. He meant you need rov. And the Ralbach, who said, no, even if you hold like the Rambam, it doesn't work because you need kulam, or at minimum you need rov mitoch Hakol, was interpreting this way. It's very unclear, but I'm going to get back to it in a minute. Then he says, "V'ima yisham samoch, v'pi samoch ein tzarich das kulan." And if you had, one of the guys on broken chain from Moshe Rabbeinu, he wouldn't need all this. Oh, don dinei knasus l'kol, sharein nismach v'pi bezin. And then the last words of the Rambam, if it couldn't get any more, the Rambam says, "V'hadavar tzarich echreya." This matter needs, a decision. So then there's a big debate among the Mefarshim. What does that mean? So the Rabbach said, even the Rambam wasn't so sure about it. He said, a davar tzarich achreya, we need to decide. And the Mari Beirav said, no, he didn't mean that about the actual Chiddush HaSmicha. He meant about what he said earlier, that it's enough to have one samuch and you can put two hediotos together. That he meant tzarich achreya, just like in Pirush and Mishnayos. Okay, so this huge, huge controversy. By the way, let me add this for a second. The Ralbach and the Mari Beirav, they're the big antagonists here in 16th century Tzfat. So the Ralbach said, if there's no parhal and davar shel tzibur, bizmaninu, there can't be chiddush hasmicha either. Well, what's that connection come from? But we understand it, even though it's still strange, because it's a paradigm, it's not a direct link. But
was it in Yerushalayim, the Ralbach?
It could be.
I think
they tried to give smicha in Tzfat.
Right. Tzfat, but he
and therefore
he was in Yerushalayim.
Right, I think so. Well, why is it relevant?
They weren't both in Tzfat.
Right.
No, I'm saying but the controversy
they
was
in Tzfat.
The controversy was between the Rabbanan and Yerushalayim.
Yeah, I didn't say that no one in Yerushalayim was involved in the controversy. I'm saying the controversy was about the bequeathing of smicha in Tzfat, which is where the Beis Yosef lived and Mabit. Right. They all lived in Tzfat. Okay, now...
What's it? One samach plus two.
Yeah.
So the smicha faher has to be 3.
Yeah.
Like, you
but only one samach. There you had 3 smuchim.
Yeah. There you had 3 samach.
Right?
Can anybody object to a...
Yes, so that's an issue too. The Gemara has a case of somebody who there was no Kabbalah smicha, and some Rishonim explain... that some of the Farshim say, oh, he wasn't old enough. Some say, oh, Klal Yisrael didn't accept him. A third view is that Chachmei Yisrael didn't accept him, even though he got smicha. Like, can you throw somebody out after he has smicha? Let's say he behaves improperly, can take away smicha?
You defrag him.
So there's apparently a tshuva in the Melamed Lahoel about this, suggesting yes. But it's not so clear, but maybe that's one of the reasons that the dreams has come out.
With Graubart.
Oh, uh-huh.
Ravensburg gave him smicha, and they tried to retract the smicha.
Oh. So does he have, he speaks about it? Mishmer Zachayim? Does he have a tshuva about it?
Maybe discusses it there.
That's the safer, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, interesting. So, these are really, as you can see, really interesting topics. Really interesting issues.
Rambam didn't consider, or the Farshay Rambam didn't consider, that you could move people in Eretz Yisrael, you could move them to one venue. The fact that they were...
No. He was just saying you got to get every... He wasn't saying it's impossible. He was saying... The Rambam was asking a question.
They said, if they were Mefuzarim, or is it because they were Mefuzarim?
I gave you three pshat.
Yeah, so I'm thinking right. About the first one.
Okay.
That, the other ones I...
Right, it's still hard to get all Chachmei Eretz Yisrael, especially if you need all of them. It's a little tough. It's not impossible. He's saying, why did Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava give up his life for this?
They
pay their expenses. Okay. Every single one of them.
Yeah.
Okay. So the... But I'm kidding, you're the same person who said a second ago that you don't believe it, so obviously you like
the other pshat.
I understand. Okay.
I just want to say that Rambam passes like
Homan.
Like who?
Like
Homan. Oh, you're
vague. Oh.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
That he's talking about Chutzlar.
I hear.
May have asked him to shiva and dinah.
Yeah. Right, so. But it said, hey, you know, I'm the Chad, right? But they said Mefozar and Mefarad.
You then would have to define what exactly constitutes in Eretz Yisrael.
What?
I mean, what is a chacham who is in Eretz Yisrael? What does that mean?
What do you mean?
He lives there permanently. He comes there for the Yom Tovim.
That's a good question. Presumably, people who
you need to find.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Presumably, people who really live in Eretz Yisrael. You know, there wasn't so much travel in those days. It was pretty clear where people lived. You know, people didn't live bicoastally, or you know, they didn't live like you know in New York during the week and fly back. You know, every Friday on El Al for, you know, so it was easier to explain that. Okay, anyways, as you can see, this is an unbelievable thing, and there's a huge literature about the Ramari Beirav wrote a kuntras, the Ralbach wrote a kuntras back, you know, the Ramari Beirav answered him, the Ralbach wrote another tshuva. Some of it got a little intemperate, too. There are a lot of stakes here. Historically, again, this is not my, focus right now, but you have to understand this is 16th century. And it was after, Galus Sfarad. And, you know, there were a lot of what we used to call Muranos, now Conversos. And, you know, the desperate, you know, yearning for Yemosa Mashiach, one. And B, for a method of, like, bringing back, they wanted to bring back Malchus badly as a kapara, you know, for some of the things that people had to do. It's a fascinating thing. I mean, there were some very interesting, you know, issues, but there are a lot of, you know, arguments and issues that come out of all this. Kiddush HaKodesh and Malchus, you know, as Talmidei Chachamim argue things, you know. But for our purposes for the moment, just to talk about Parlam Dovr Shel Tzibur for one more second, and then the bigger question, and that is as follows. The Rambam says, Kol. You need Kol Chachmei Eretz Yisrael. So the Mari Berav said, Kol. Rubo Kikulo. And Kol Tarakula, there's Rove. You know, Lo Tzrichim Lahagzim, as they say, you know, in Israel. You know, the Rambam said Kol. He didn't mean Kol. He meant Rove. Okay. The Rabach, who's opposed, said no. He said Kol. He means Kol. So, Mari Barav said, come on. Kol Tarakula, we go by Rove. Why here do we go by Kol? So the Rabach said, because in Parhalim Dovr Shel Tzibur, it goes by Kol. Wouldn't that be curious that if he meant Kol, the paradigm again is Parlam Dovr Shel Tzibur? Now, the Mari Beirav said it's not true. No, not Kol. Let me explain. Yeah. Not Kol Yisrael Ta'u, Kol that this was endorsed by Kol Bezna Gadol.
Right, but in other words, it would have been enough for a robe of Bezna Gadol.
Well, that's the debate. So the Mari Beirav said, who told you that? Maybe it's Rov Mitoch HaKol, meaning that all Bezen Shalayin Aleph had to be there, but maybe even if it, that's not so clear. So the Rabach said, who told you that? You know, I think it had to be Kol, which is fascinating also. But again, once again, this connection to Parol and Dovr Shel Tzibur, and there are a few others as well, is just fascinating. Okay, but what I want to discuss for a moment is as follows. How does this work? I mean, the Rambam came up with this. He believed in it. Did he have Suffolk or not? That depends how you... interpret the Dovr Tzara Chachreya, fine. But it's just an incredible parsha. But for our purposes now. Let me take a step back. The Rambam says you need, the Gemara says, we paskin you need three dayanim for smicha. The Rambam seems to paskin, even though he was mistapik in Pirush and Mishnayos, one samuch and two others. What kind of, like you asked before, what kind of combination is that? If you need one, I understand, it should be a samuch. If you need three, there should be three smicha. What's one and two? So a velvel in the Chiddush HaGriz on the Rambam, on this Rambam, and the previous Rambam that says this, says, okazar are two dinim in smicha. One din is that it has giving smicha is a ma'isa bezdin, but the other din is that it's got to be you need the continuity of ishmi pi ishmi Moshe Rabbeinu. So for the ishmi pi ish part, you need a samuch, otherwise you can't give it. But for the ma'isa bezdin part, even without smicha, that's rebel. Very, very wonderful pshat. But then you step back and you wonder, so where do you get that in Hiskimu Kol Chachmei Eretz Yisrael? Where's the Ish M'Pi'ish? Right? Like, how do you duplicate this? So the Rav used to say that in Brisk, Rav Simcha Zelig, who was the Dayan of Brisk, thought that, you know, when the Rambam says it in Mishnah Torah at least, he says, if you do this, you know, Harielu Smuchem Yeshlan Ladun Dine Knossos. So maybe it doesn't mean that it's smicha gemura. It's only for dine knossos or a few other things. Now, obviously, it has to help for Yemos HaMashiach, otherwise the Pirush Mishnayos thing doesn't work. But not for dine nefashos. What motivated Reb Chaim? And Reb Chaim said he agreed. So what motivated him? Because again, they're trying to figure out, like, how do you reconnect ish mipiish? So good, Kol Chachmei Yisrael said okay, right? So the Aruch HaShulchan, in the beginning of Hilchos Dayanim, says, oh, no. The reason you need Ish M'Pi'ish always is because you want to make sure that the person, somebody there, is quality control. That the smuchim that he's sanctioning are worthy. So, you know, the way to ensure that quality control is Ish M'Pi'ish. But if you have Kol Chachmei Yisrael, or Rov Kol Chachmei, whatever it is, you know, that'll do it too. Except that dilutes a little bit the ish mipiish, right? Oh. So what I want to suggest, and I feel this is really strongly indicated, is that really there are two mesoros of Klal Yisrael, right? Or two tracks for the mesoro of Klal Yisrael. One is ish mipiish, and that's a very powerful thing, right? Moshe Kibbutz Torah Misinai. You know, again, like the Rambam says in Perek Aleph, in Perek Dalad, Hilchos Sanhedrin Halacha Aleph, right? Echad bezna gadol sanhedri katano bezin shel gimel tzrichim shia kol echad mem samuch mipi samuch. It's a beautiful imagery, right? Moshe Rabbeinu samach Yehoshua biyad v'chein shivim skeinim Moshe samcham v'shar aleim ashchina. Also fascinating, it's not just, it's a spirituality also, a certain luster, right? Otzaltam in aruach v'osan azkeinim samchu acherim 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 v'nimtzu asmuchim ish mipiish. Ad beis dino shi Yehoshua, ad beis dino shi Moshe. I think it's a powerful language. What does it mean? Ad beis dino shi Yehoshua, ad beis dino shi Moshe Rabbeinu. It's Mimad of Shach. Either ad Moshe Rabbeinu or ad Yehoshua. You know, there was no smicha biyadayim. Meaning, in the end of the day, it has to go back to Moshe Rabbeinu. We understand that the Moshe Rabbeinu smicha was unique, and also he has to be the father of smicha. Anyways, this is what the Rambam describes. And then he goes on. So one way of smicha, one way of mesora, basically, is ish mipiish, 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 ad Moshe Rabbeinu. And that is critical, not only for quality control, but there's a certain amorphous, again, people don't understand it today, and it's sad. You know, what's particularly sad is not that people don't understand it, but they criticize things or they comment on things that they don't understand or they don't have a background to understand. Meaning, when we use a phrase, mesorah, the word mesorah was a phrase in particular that the Rav, really projected very centrally. But of course, he didn't make it up. I mean, it's a major, hagadara and formulation in Chazal. The idea of mesorah isn't just past precedent. It's the amorphous, but even more important policy, hashkafa, you know, the in between the lines, the ethos, if you will, of Mesorah. And you have to have ish mipi ish mipi ish to know that. You have a certain responsibility. If I learn with a great man, you know, then, you know, his dmus diukno, hopefully, if I'm a good Talmud and a loyal Talmud, you know, it's, you know, Eda told us Yitzchak ben Avram, Avram, holiness Yitzchak. So we know, as detached observers, that, you know, there almost couldn't be two personalities different, more different than Avram and Yitzchak. But try telling that to Yitzchak. You know what I mean? That's the charm of it. You know, Yitzchak thought he was the clone of his father. And that's the way Mesorah worked. The sense of loyalty and responsibility, I can't do this if I want to do it because... I'm not saying that a Talmud never is independent of his... I always try to explain to the Talmidim that, you know, Hamidu Talmidim Harbe, the Rebbe should want his Talmidim to be somewhat independent, and the Talmud should want to be, you know, a continuous, you know, loyal extension of his Rebbe. That's the way it works best. You know, you get the independence, you know, from the... It's the opposite of the scholarly world, or the academic world, you know, where the... You know, the mentor, you know, wants to control his disciple, and the disciple can't wait to break away. That's human nature, frankly. We have that too. But the idea of Mesorah and the sense of responsibility, sosav dovos bekever, you know, Rabbi Lazar Amar me'olam lo amarti davar shelo shamati mipira. The rabbis say this all the time, that, you know, even though he learned with his father for X amount of years, but, you know, whatever he learns, even if it's something he didn't learn with his father, you know, the Rav had this way of, you know, talking, you know. Like he sees him peering over his shoulder. That's the idea of Mesorah, which imposes a sense of continuity and responsibility. And it fills, it's not infallible, nothing is infallible that's human. But it fills in a lot of blanks. It gives you clarity in the ethos of halacha beyond the details. It gives you the values. It gives you a strong sense of what's appropriate, what's not appropriate. Sometimes it's certainly always more difficult to come by. It's also not a precise mathematical formula. It's not supposed to be, but it's a critical, indispensable part of the system. That's why in Avos, the Anshei Knesset HaGdola basically are operating at a point where there's no longer Nevuah. Just like, you know, after Moshe Rabbeinu there was a crisis, at the time of the loss of Nevuah there was a crisis. But that's, you know, Taras Hashem Tamima, and that's the idea of Mesorah, that, you know, you can continue with this ethos and so on. So the idea of Ish Mipi Ish Mipi Ish Mipi Ish Ad Beis Dino Shosho Ad Beis Dino Shemosh Rabbeinu is a very critical, it's the linchpin of rabbinic authority. But when you lose that, and that's why Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, you know, was Moser Nefesh. Not just so they could keep doing Dinei Knossos, I'm suggesting. So when you lose that, what happens? The Mesorah of Klal Yisrael is lost. The answer is the individual pipeline, right, has been disrupted in the effectiveness of that. However, Klal Yisrael as a klal always has the Mesorahs collectively of Torah. That's what Maimon Har Sinai was. In my opinion, that's what Hakel is. I don't want to go through the whole thing right now, but again, this year was a Hakel year. Hakel appears, so just very briefly, in the very end of the Torah, right? In Parshas Vayelech. If you look at it, it's fascinating. It's the Mabit in Sefer Beis Elokim, in the end of Hilchos Tshuva, says it's fascinating that Tshuva, Kisvu Lechem Es Hashir Azos, Ksiva Sefer Torah, Hakel and Avodah Zarah are like the last four things in the Torah, because each one's a linchpin. It doesn't explain why Hakel is, but he just says each one is a critical, indispensable thing. What is it? If you look at the Parsha, Hakel is very complicated. After Shemitah, after Sukkot, you know, the Rambam has it in Hilchos Re'iyah, the Melech, you know, the Chizkuni says it's about the Melech, the Kli Yakar says it's about the period of the year after Sukkot, the Rambam, as they put it, in Chagiga. What is all this? What's going on here? But the context is Moshe Rabbeinu is about to leave the scene. He's about to die. And Moshe Rabbeinu was everything to Klal Yisrael. He was the Melech, and he was the Kohen Gadol, and he was the leader, right? And he was the Rabbeinu. He was the father of the Mesorah. So when you put it all together, and he's about to leave, this is a crisis. How are they going to continue? How are you going to have leadership post Moshe Rabbeinu? So first in the Psukim, Moshe Rabbeinu says, I spoke to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. He pretty much guaranteed that if there's a Mochama, you know, Yehoshua will do the job. And, you know, Rabbeinu Shel Olam will make sure that everything will be fine and good. And, you know, therefore, don't worry about it. Then Psukim go on, and we're told that, you know, then Moshe Rabbeinu passed the Sefer Torah, you know, to the Zakenim or whatever. And then he announced Hakel. It's like, what is that? I think the answer is, it's easier to solve the political and the military, you know, continuity. The bigger problem is, who is going to be the embodiment of the Mesorah? We spoke last week about the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu was able to be Masmich Yehoshua and start all this off Bamidbar, not in Eretz Yisrael. So it wasn't Chutz La'aretz because there was no Eretz Yisrael. There was Machne Yisrael, but it wasn't Eretz Yisrael. The answer is, it was Moshe Rabbeinu, right? Not just, oh, Moshe Rabbeinu's better. Moshe Rabbeinu embodied that representation that we were talking about and that Mesorah that we're talking about. He's the first in the link. He's the first link in the chain. So the point is, he's about to leave. And indeed, when he leaves, that's the Gemara in Tmura, there's a crisis, right? People start forgetting thousands of halachas, whatever that's all about. I suspect not amnesia, but they don't know what to do about certain... They don't know how it fits in. They don't have a good Mesorah to figure out the intuition and the instinct of what it's all about. In the end, they're not allowed to, you know, use nevuah or baskol, and Asniel ben Knaz is machzir b'tok pilpul. What's that all about? So I think the answer is hakel, meaning what is shnasa shmita? Basically, shnasa shmita is a time number one for shmitas ksafim. Shmitas ksafim is, among other things, a kind of galgala chozer. It's Judaism is pretty open to capitalism. But Shmitas Ksafim says, you know what? Every 7 years, all of Klal Yisrael is one happy or unhappy family. It's, you know, you're going to need it one day. You give it now. It's the epitome of the concept of corporate Klal Yisrael. And Shmitas Karka has a bit of hefker. But at least according to the Rambam, it can be demonstrated. Not hefker, no one owns it. But in Shemitah, everybody owns it. In Shemitah, you go back to the first 14 years of collective Klal Yisrael ownership. Right? It's fascinating. I'd say every one of the factors of Hakel is picked up by one of the Mefar, the Rambam Re'iya, the Kliyakar, the period of the year. Sukkah is a time of unity. You know, the Arba Minim, Klal Yisrael B'Sukkah Achas, it's about Tshuva, the Melech. Everybody has a different theme. But if you ask me, it's all the same theme, and it's much more than that. What's the idea? It's the idea of the Mesorah being given, in addition to individuals, Moshe Rabbeinu to Yehoshua, to the Zkenim, etc., to the totality of Klal Yisrael. And that's expressed in two different mitzvos. Hakel, right? Exactly at the time of Re'iyah, after Yom Kippur and Sukkot, you know, after the Shemitah year, by the Melech, who represents that unity, as well as Kisvo Lachem es Hashir Azos, every individual writing his own Sefer Torah. So it's fascinating. If you look at Parshas Hazinu, Torah has a haftaka that Klal Yisrael will never forget the Torah. What does that even mean? There's so much in our heritage about, you know, Shikcha and Zachar. Individuals can forget. But somehow there's a haftaka that the Mesorah of Klal Yisrael belongs to Klal Yisrael. Maybe now and then. That's why we trust Klal Yisrael when it comes to certain minhagim, right? Puk chazi, mamadavar. There's like a race memory or race instinct that the totality of Klal Yisrael has. So I think that's the pshat in the Rambam's Chiddush HaSmicha. Because it's all, remember, Paralim Davar Shel Tzibur, it's all about, right, the interests of corporate Klal Yisrael in its headquarters. So the Rambam said, it's true you don't have ish mipi ish, but there's a way to get the Mesorah back without a particular individual who as an individual received it from another individual in that uninterrupted straight line. And that way is through haskamas kol kach me Yisrael sheba Eretz Yisrael to renew it, because it's there. It's just there. You know, part of the haftacha lo tishkach, part of the hakel, it's there. It's just not there for an individual. It's there for the collectivity. So if you can find a way to muster and to harness the collectivity of the Mesorah of Klal Yisrael, this is my personal read in all of this. That is what smicha, that's what Ish B'Piyish was always about too, in a way. Yeah.
I mean, just continuing with what I'm thinking,
yeah.
Who created Moshe's Asamuch? It was Vayaminu Vashem Moshe Avdo with Klal Yisrael.
Oh, excellent. Beautiful. And let's remember something else, that the first smicha to Yoshua, Klal Yisrael was standing around. They were witness to it. But you're saying, not only that, he got it from them. When does Moshe Rabbeinu lose his status and his career? When he says dilatori al Klal Yisrael. When he's no longer saying Mecheni na misifrecha asher kasavta, right? But when he says, he doesn't see himself as having, you know, that interest or the ability, you know, to represent that. So I think this is a very powerful, listen, I think our powerful hashkafic and halachic lessons about consensus and looking at the past and responsibility for totality of Klal Yisrael and not you know being short sighted and embracing the history, the Chiddush HaSmicha of the Rambam, I think is just, in addition to being an amazing Chiddush, but it's an amazing Chiddush which in a sense, through the Rambam's global conviction, was drawing upon the deepest understanding you could possibly have of what smicha and authority and all these things are really all about. Yeah.
So, that being the case, one could presume that you could have the Rambam's Chiddush HaSmicha even while Smicha Ish Mipi Ish was going on, since the two are not.
I don't know. I think that's it's possible. Way. It's possible. Or you might say that, you know, as long as there is access to Ish Mipi Ish, I don't. The Rambam doesn't weigh in on that. I don't remember if that's part of the debate between the Rabbah and the Rivav or not. Well, I could see I could see that being true, and I could see it not being true. I could see it being that, you know, you're supposed to get it in the direct way, you know, unless the only way to get it is in the indirect way, then you know, does that Klal Yisrael is a total, has that Mesorah in some way is true, but obviously a
more direct
me, you know, is this?
Yeah, and maybe pragmatic way, but in terms of conceptually,
I think it's certainly possible. I don't think it's mukhrach.
However, the Rambam doesn't seem to.
Well, he doesn't say it. Maybe because you don't need it, or maybe because he thought that was wrong. Meaning, as long as you have a better access, you always have to go with the better access. The fact that it's a second rate, if it is second rate, means that it's you know it's not the best way to get the Mesorah, so it's not a way to get the Mesorah. I think that's possible too. I mean that you're wrong. Right. But I totally agree with you that it's possible. Yeah. I just don't know where to draw the line.
The pshat in Hakel, maybe it's not differing from that, but we see, adding to it that there are all these confluence of all these factors, the melech, the time of year, and so forth, and then it becomes surprising that there doesn't seem to be a factor of beitin. Like, there doesn't seem to be...
Interesting.
It's not a ma'aseh beitin, and that right. Might relate to that point, that maybe the two
you don't need.
Modes of Mesorah either conflict or...
Interesting. But what there is, which I should also have said, is the language of Hakel, and the Rambam emphasizes in Hilchos Chagiga also, is very much a language of Maimon Har Sinai.
Yeah.
And it's also Yom HaKohol. And by the way, it's an interesting word. Sadja Gon says, well, you know, we call it Hakel, even because the Torah says Hakel is Ha'am. So we should call it Hakel for that reason. But the Rambam makes it seem like, and Sadja Gon is certainly more explicit, even. Rambam says, for Mitzvah and Yad HaSaka. But Rav Sadia Gaon says, Hakel is the day when the Kehillah manifests itself as a Kehillah. So in a way that's true. But your point is very well taken about that. You know, there's a discussion in some of the Achronim, you need a Melech. And if there's no Melech, Doraisa, it's Melech. Okay, or only if there is a Melech, it's the Melech. Or, let's say there's Malchus based Chashmonoi, not Malchus based David. Does that matter? So if it's a din of Melech per se, like Ibn Ezra, Chizkuni I think thought it was a din in Melech, Ibn Ezra thought it was a din in Shemitah, but I'm trying to put them all together and explain this is the common denominator. But is it Melech per se, or no, it's the whoever, like now in Israel they have the president. I think it's not bad. Somebody said to me, oh, do you like that? Recently I was in Yeshiva for Shabbos, they asked me questions. So somebody said, do you think that's a simulation? I said, you know, usually I don't like simulations. You know, Talmud of the Rav, you know. But I think the hakel that they do in Eretz Yisrael is a good simulation. It's very close to what it's supposed to really be. Because it's not a din in melech per se, and it's not a din in you know, in the mikdash per se. It's really, you know, in the aftermath of Shemitah and this time of year, you know, where the tzibur comes together after this tkufa of, you know, kihila, kahal, you know, emphasis. And I said, I happen to think it's very close to, I wouldn't know, if, I'm not going as far as say it's a kiyum d'oraisa, but I think it's a very appropriate thing that they do.
It's moving.
Were you there?
So, yeah.
I know you were there in Israel. You were there.
I was one before. It was a very moving experience.
Yeah. Do all types come?
No.
Mostly just the Dati Lumi?
Not the Haredi. The Obamashi, they welcome, but the Haredi and the...
Now, it would help if all types came, obviously. Yeah. That would be part of the hakel.
That would be already as Tchilas Mashiach.
What? It would be itself. Even if with Mefuzar Mefura. Okay. Anyways, that's my quick take on this issue. As I say, I think it's really... I believe it strongly. I mean, obviously, there's some of it is speculative. But, yeah.
No, I just want to say that...
I think I thought I'd start the next...
Marks, you know... Let's say Hamidu Tamim Harbe.
Yeah.
So I mean, the way you're explaining it, Hamid doesn't mean to make new Talmidim, but to put them on their feet.
Feet. Yeah.
You know that they can. Act
That's what I'm suggesting. That they act yeah. Somebody told me the Rav suggested that also, although I didn't hear
and
it
the
directly.
The other thing about when the Rav used to speak, he used to like his father was standing over his shoulder.
Yeah.
So the Yushami says that when you say a bar Torah in somebody's name, you should always just not quote him. You have to conjure up in your mind as if he's standing in front of you.
Really.
Yeah.
Where's that Yerushalmi?
Yerushalmi.
Do you know where?
I can find it for you.
That's
right. Chavos Yaakov quotes in the name of the Balzer Rebbe. That's Yerushalmi.
Yeah. Very good. No, the whole idea of Sifsosov Dovos Bekever, Dmus Dukno, it's such a powerful thing when you have that relationship. It keeps people, you know, it gives them clarity. Not always. Again, people are not infallible and they make mistakes. But it is a very powerful force for responsibility and for clarity. And, you know, we live in an era where people, you know, think research and, you know, fact-finding, you know, that's very important, don't get me wrong. But there are elements that are much more amorphous, and they're not less important for being more amorphous. That's the way, you know, Torah was always able to, you know, respond to challenges and opportunities, and it's because you had these walking Sifrei Torah, these Chachmei Mesorah, and they imparted, you know, and conveyed, you know, to Klal Yisrael, you know, a certain attitudes and sensibilities that go together with, but, you know, are also part of, you know, the system. Anyways, I thought we'd get further. I apologize for that, but we'll stop here. Next time we're going to start the base on the base, and then we're going to go straight. There's much more to talk about in terms of smicha, but for our purposes now, that was good enough.